Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
I am Brandi Campbell with Fox Weather, bringing you the latest on this massive winter storm that's impacted folks across 40 states here in the U.S. with either snow, ice, or freezing cold temperatures. We're here in Oxford, Mississippi, where we've dealt with an ice storm with an inch of ice coating things like the trees and power lines you can see behind us. Right now, we have active weather in the New England area. We have several states dealing with heavy snow. And then if we go down to the Carolinas, they are dealing with freezing rain and sleet in the overnight hours. Now, here in Oxford, we're in the dark right now because of the ice, and it's not just us. We're joining over 866,000 Americans in the path of this winter storm that are also in the dark. And over several thousand flights that have also been impacted today. Stick with us on Fox for more.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. So glad you're here on this Sunday night. We got a great roster today. You want to know what's happening with China? One-stop shopping. Steve Mosher is going to be here. Tell us, do we really have a rival? Are we ready for that fight? Larry Kudlow. If it's all about the economy, stupid, Larry Kudlow is not, and he will tell Donald Trump the key to success in the midterms. He always does. And Senator John Cornyn wants 6 more years in the Senate. What's he going to fight for, and what does he think his chances are? He's going to be joining us live, along with his experience with Europe, and man, do we need his expertise. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. Here we go. We begin with one world, two completely worldviews, different worldviews. For example, a new poll revealing that 73% of Republicans think that America is doing much better than a year ago. Did you see the number on Democrats? 3, same country. How can that be? Now, let's examine, for example, the case of Greenland. President Trump wants it for, not for him, not for his portfolio, not to build a golf course, but for us, virtually unused yet vital earth. Rare earth is there, a path to the Arctic, and national defense priorities. Cue the outrage machine. Then he flew into Davos, walking straight into a maelstrom of criticism. The fear that he was about to seize the friendly land by force and that he was going to put tariffs on Europe.
Great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons. Tariffs as leverage.
The international order of the past 3 decades, anchored in international law, has always been imperfect. Today, its very foundations have been shaken.
We do not accept to be blackmailed by any country, and even less so by an ally.
We are ready to negotiate a better partnership and so on, but sovereignty is a red line.
It is not for sale. Let me put it in words you might understand. Mr. Trump, off.
Yeah, nice language. But this is Trump. If you don't understand him yet by now, here's a lesson. He rattles cages, especially theirs. He forces people to think differently. Then he usually cuts a deal. Now, if the critics had only listened to the Treasury Secretary, they wouldn't have had their minds blown.
I would tell everyone, take a deep breath. Do not have this reflexive anger that we've seen and bitterness. Why don't they sit down, wait for President Trump to get here and listen to his argument? Because I think they're going to be persuaded.
Yes, it didn't take long for Donald Trump's provocative Greenland comments to turn in negotiations with those very same allies, the details of which are still being framed out.
I've done a lot for NATO, and it's really nice. I mean, it's a deal that everybody's very happy with. It's a long-term deal. It's the ultimate long-term deal. I think it puts everybody in a really good position, especially as it pertains to security and minerals. People, what happens is people are out there and they're working it right now. They're working the details of the deal, but it's what's called an infinite deal.
I didn't love the background music nor the camera work, but you know what I'm saying. The bottom line is, he walked out with the deal. Here's what it looks like. America gains access to critical minerals. It's not going to be easy. It's 90% covered in ice. The U.S. can own the land where its bases are, and they're going to expand our bases. NATO establishes an Arctic command with America running it. That's not chaos. That's leverage. There will be no hostile takeover of Greenland. Relax. There was a meeting with the Ukrainian president also. They made great progress with President Zelensky. There was a launch of a new international board of peace. 30-plus nations have signed up to begin with. And once again, Donald Trump was forcing allies to confront the world as it is, not the one they've been coasting on for the last 80 years, and it bugs them. But you wouldn't know that from most of the media. They're crying that Donald Trump's essentially ruining the world.
What we are dealing with today is what happens when the winners of World War II, one of them, realize the order they built is crumbling.
It looks to me like a face saver for Trump.
Insane asylums, foreboding
with
buildings
bars on
there.
The walls.
Greenland for Rape Island.
Oh.
Congratulations, our Danish friends.
You believe at this point that the president of the United States may not have his full faculty?
I felt that before now.
It's hysterical. Outrage over how Trump is treating allies, saying they might take their trade and loyalty to China. Really? The communist nation that stole your intellectual property, destroys your domestic manufacturing, extorts struggling nations for their natural resources, and buys none of your products? Have fun with China. You might think there could be an acknowledgement that he has a point. And none of you cared about that icy landmass until Trump showed how vital it was and that he was interested in it and how it's being ignored while leaving us vulnerable, us, yes, vulnerable to hostile forces. Who was defending Greenland? Canada with their one rusty submarine, their antiquated battleship? Not one network offered a different perspective except this one.
I think it's been a breakthrough week, Brett, for getting the understanding of what Golden Dome is and why we need it.
In Congress, especially on the Democratic side, should feel at least a little bit of relief. We still have great relationships with our allies, and maybe now the president has reinforced the idea of reliability.
This was kind of classic Trump, wasn't it? I mean, Trump wants something, and then he asked for 10 times that. And the other side flips out, and they go back and forth and go back and forth. It becomes a huge news story. Finally, they make an offer. He agrees to it, and it's kind of what they could have gotten in the first place.
And says they're wonderful.
Right. Look, do I think it would have been in our interest, not mentioning tariffs, jeopardizing the EU deal and taking invasion off the table? Sure. But at this point, haven't we all taken the Donald Trump presidency course? Didn't we all pass it? We know the game plan. We know the strategy. He thrives on unpredictability. He operates in an unorthodox way. And so far, ladies and gentlemen, it has worked. Even when the methods make people uncomfortable, unfortunately, most of the media will seize any opportunity, any moment to take their shots. And that version of America, sadly, is what is often seen most often in Europe and around the world. But not here. Hopefully, they'll start getting Fox. Joining us now, the co-host of the Ruthless Podcast, part of the Fox family, got Josh Holmes, Comfortably Smug, Michael Duncan in the third spot, and John Ashbrook. Guys, welcome. And I start with this. Even if you agree with the president, do you think, Josh, that we're in danger of alienating our very sensitive European allies?
I mean, look, this is a part of the world, Europe and actually most of the world, that has benefited a great deal from an American governance that is totally comfortable being taken advantage of, right? They've got everything from their economic deals and their trade deals that don't benefit American workers. They have huge trade deficit issues in this country in comparison to what it is that we're dealing with in Europe. They love that. They don't want anybody to ruffle the cages. And so, but at the same time, they also want America to be the big brother and step in every time they have a problem. So, of course, this whole thing throws it all into total chaos. I will say that Mark Rutte, he's the NATO guy. That guy seems to have a relationship with Trump in a way that nobody else does. The rest of them sort of wring their hands and become ridiculous about it. But every time that guy's in a room with Trump, they kind of see eye to eye. And I think this Greenland thing is a perfect example of it.
Well, and I wouldn't call it alienation. I would say, like, these European leaders need their cage rattled a little bit by somebody like Donald Trump. You know, as the head of the EU, you know, said, when it comes to the investment that these states were making in the defense of their countries, right? And I think, you know, Scott Bessent mentioned this when he went over there to Davos. But, you know, 4 years on here in this Russian conflict, and they're still buying Russian oil, right? And it's like, so, I mean, these they talk about this this framework that they've had, this international order that's worked perfectly since World War II. It seems like they're still not figuring it out.
Well, it's been an awful long time since we've heard any European talk about border sovereignty. But let me tell you something about Greenland. It is much closer to America than you think. It's as close to New York City as Honolulu is to Los Angeles. This is an important piece of land, and it wouldn't be the first time an American president bought an island from Denmark. A Democrat president, Woodrow Wilson, bought the Virgin Islands to defend our country from the German threat. And if a Democrat president is allowed to buy an island from Denmark in the 19-teens, then a Republican president sure as hell should be able to buy an island from Denmark to protect us from modern threats.
And Smug, look at this headline. I'll have you comment. Political on Politico, Trump's Greenland gambit broke brains across D.C. So we're as bent, they're as bent out of shape where you are as they were in Europe. I'm not sure the rest of the country. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if there's any group of people who need their brains broken, it's the folks in Washington, D.C., who've been a part of and managed the decline of this country for so long. But there's a new sheriff in town who believes in America first. For so long, America has been the benevolent caretaker for Europe. Since the 1980s, America has spent over $25 trillion on defense that benefits Europe, that keeps Europe safe. And just like John brought up a second ago, meanwhile, Europe has been trying to stop Russia from gobbling up countries in Europe,
right?
But they're buying oil from Europe because they went with their crazy harebrained ideas of maybe we should have a Green New Deal for Europe and we can have windmills that can support our countries. And it didn't work out. But Trump knows how to take care of them.
You don't think Greta had the best interests of
Germany? Yeah, clearly not. Yeah.
Right. Hey, guys, I want you to that's where the Republican Party is right now. I think most thoroughly back Donald Trump. I think it's very interesting that the world's got problems, but we're still the only ones solving them. We're trying to bring peace to Ukraine and Russia alone. We actually bombed out Iran's nuclear program. That's been the problem for, what, 25 years? And then in Venezuela, that annual issue was taken care of, at least for now. We seem to be the only one addressing the problems, but that's not the way it always was. I thought this was kind of interesting. Another podcast, not as good as yours. Bill Maher was on it. Dana Carvey was there. And they talked about the good old days of being a Democrat, what it used to mean. Watch.
I used to get nominated for everything, and then the wokeness came in, and then I was considered conservative.
Are you bad?
Ridiculous. I was what I call soft canceled.
Yeah.
Where you don't you know.
Well, I'm a Bill Clinton liberal, which is from the 90s, which is now called a Nazi.
Far exactly. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're a white supremacist.
Hey, guys, Smug, would you say, is that what I know you have Democratic friends. Is that how they feel? If you're a moderate Democrat, do you feel exiled?
So I don't have any Democrat friends. John Ashbrook is friends with plenty of them. But I think Dana brings up a terrific point.
Yeah.
Is that it's not like the folks shifted. Not anyone in the middle, not even people who are Clinton Democrats. The Overton window got pushed so far to the left, especially starting with Obama, who entered office saying that, like, you know, I'm going to fight illegal aliens. I'm not going to be for gay marriage. And then just look at how far that moved under the Obama years. And then Trump won, and he completely broke their brains across the country. And the left now became, okay, yes, we believe in trans children and rioting to get our way and supporting criminals and illegal aliens who are committing sex crimes and murdering people in America. I will take their side over people who are attending church. That's how far left they've gone.
Yeah, and I think, look, Brian, it's an interesting thing that's happened. I mean, if you look at the last 20, 25 years of American politics, Republicans and primary voters in the conservative side of the ecosystem have been largely open to arguments by different Republican politicians. You'd think of like Bush, Romney, Trump. None of them have anything to do with one another. The overlap on the Venn diagram is like almost non-existent. But yet different arguments have resonance in different ages and different periods of time. What we've seen out of the left, there is no argument. It is absolutely right. This left-hand adhesion right. to just straight communism, socialism, America last, America is the worst.
Yep.
And it seems like a race to the bottom at this point for the entire Democrat Party.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a shame because we are supposed to be celebrating our 250th birthday. So I thought this was an interesting poll. Not great for Republicans. I also saw one poll that said on every major issue, the Republicans are preferred than the Democrats. But on the Siena poll, the question is, do you think the country is generally better off than it was a year ago? And as I mentioned, 32% said yes, 49% said no. Do you want to tackle that, John?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Brian, I think a lot of that has to do with information silos, and the left simply will not read something that doesn't confirm their prior convictions. They won't. They're not interested in people who think differently than them. And that is a big problem in our country because there is a lot of good that is happening, a lot of growth that's happening. And I thought it was very interesting. I just want to go back to the three comedians who are very famous men that you played in that clip. And all three of those guys are lean to the left. And all three of those guys have been ostracized by the left simply because they're irreverent. And you're not allowed to be irreverent in a woke society. You're not allowed to read things that are different in a woke society. And that's what drives the disparate reactions to what's happening in our country.
I think that's part of the problem. I think you also just have to sell the agenda. You know, I was reading a lot of the verbatims out of that poll, Brian, and there were people in there saying, oh, well, Trump's too focused on foreign policy. I care more about things like tax cuts. And it's like, well, welcome to the working family's job, you know, tax cut. And
boy,
it's like,
I got something for you.
People just don't know. Right. And I know that Susie Wiles and the president's team are very focused on getting the president out there ahead of this midterm to sell the agenda. And I think that's huge news.
Guys, it's great to know, too, not only will you appear with us on Sunday, but you're able to work through the snow all throughout the week.
Yeah.
Sleep in the studio. America needs to hear all of your voices. Thanks, Ruthless Guys.
You kill me at any time.
All right. You can count on us.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And it's great to have you in the Fox family. Meanwhile, this. China's making moves to counter President Trump after the U.S. cut off some of Beijing's Venezuelan oil. Canada's cut tariffs and announced a new strategic partnership over China with electric cars. How dumb is that? Which, by the way, is making car companies in Canada a little bit angry, wouldn't you think? Argentina is opening the door to duty-free Chinese electric vehicles, and Germany's pressing ahead with business ties. I think their chancellor's going over there to China next week as security concerns grow. All of it on display last week in Davos, where China's expanding role in global trade, green energy, and rising tensions with the U.S. were front and center. Well, joining us now to discuss this is the president of the Population Research Institute and author of The Devil and China, the China from Mao to Xi, Steve Mosher. Thanks so much for joining us. Should America be worried that our allies are running to China? And what do you say to those allies if they make that choice?
Oh, well, it would be insanity central for our allies to think that they can benefit from any relationship with China. It's been clear for the last quarter century, at least, that China is a predatory power. It is a power that's determined to become the global hegemon. It is a power that does not engage in anything resembling free trade. It steals intellectual property. It sets up competing factories. It practice mercantilism, right? Beggar thy neighbor policies, sending cheap goods made by slave labor everywhere in the world. Good luck maintaining anything in the way of German industry or French industry or British industry if you're trading with China. That will all vanish. They have gotten so comfortable, Brian, over the last few decades of support from the United States, where we've always gone the extra mile. We're sending $400 billion a year to Europe to support NATO, for example, which defends them. Will they defend us? I don't know. We have been so good, so beneficent to Europe since World War II that they've gotten comfortable. They think they can take advantage of us. And we finally have a president who said, no, let's level the playing field. You know, we're not going to help you unless you agree to help us. And let's work out a deal on that fair basis. And they don't know what to do. But China? No, they're not going to turn to China.
Yeah, well, I think so. They're making overtures at the very least. And we see that they seem pretty angry from last weekend. But I just don't know how many cards they have to play. Plus, we'll buy European goods. China doesn't buy anything. They have no consumers, and they're not into equal trade. Meanwhile, the China-Iran connection. So a lot of people look at China and the Middle East, and they say, focus on China. You say, wait a second. If Iran's government flips, and they become friendly to the West or to other Middle Eastern powers, and China no longer gets their cheap oil, they stand to lose a lot, even more than Venezuela. In what respect?
Oh, absolutely, because Venezuela is like 10% of China's oil needs. Iran is about twice that. So together, they're about one-third of the oil that China imports. But Iran is the power that China uses as a proxy to meddle in politics. It caused terrorism attacks throughout the Middle East. Without support from Iran, what happens? The Houthis in Yemen disappear. The people in Hamas in Gaza lose their support of technology, intelligence, and weapons. The other terrorist groups, the ISIS militias in the radical Islamic militias in Iraq, use their principal source of support. So all that goes away. The Middle East will be a much more stable place as Iran continues to descend into chaos. Hopefully one day we'll become democratic. Right. But there you have the loss of two important proxies, Venezuela in South America and potentially Iran in the Middle East. And China's being driven back on its heels. The world's biggest loser right now is China.
Right.
The world's biggest gainer is the United States, thanks be to Trump.
Real quick, on TikTok, the deal is still coming out in detail. From what you see, has this been a successful transference of a popular app, or are you still doubtful that China is somehow still getting our IP?
Well, I mean, we have to control the code. We have to have the original code. We have to go through it and find out the back doors, get rid of the back doors, and make it into an app that is safe for Americans to use. Up until now, it's not been safe. It steals your data. Typical, of course, of the Chinese Communist Party, which is a giant vacuum cleaner vacuuming up data about Americans and about the world from all kinds of sources, including TikTok. That has to stop.
And we'll see. I still want to see the details. Steve Mosher, thanks so much. Always great. I know China's going to be front and center. The president's going to be going there in the spring. Appreciate it. Meanwhile, coming up straight ahead, midterm battles are heating up, especially in Texas. Senator John Cornyn is here. He is the sitting senator being challenged on the right. And next, Trump is going full steam ahead to fix the economy. Larry Kudlow knows all about it. He'll tell us what we need to do, what he needs to do in order to be successful in the midterms. Be sure, by the way, to catch me. It's coming up quick on February 14th in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be streamed on Fox Nation, History, Liberty, and Laughs, a show like no other. And then on May 30th, Reno, Nevada, Brian Kilmeade. Me.com. You're watching One Nation.
I love the flags.
This is not going to be a show that you're expecting.
Nice people. The only thing left is,
oh yeah, the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, get on your feet. Brian Kilmeade!
Other countries might have longer histories. They don't have better histories.
Are you prepared to give your life for our new country?
I love Brian, and I love the Comedy Edition.
That is your country. That is your story.
All right, with Davos now in the rearview mirror, the focus shifts back to home. Front and center will be the economy, with midterm elections just 10 months away. Trump is said to get back on the trail this week, starting in Iowa Tuesday. And one thing is clear. He will be all in on affordability and campaigning like it's 2024, according to his chief of staff. But the messaging on affordability has run into a little bit of trouble. Polls like this showing, well, enough still has not been done for lower prices and to boost salaries, enough for people to feel better with inflation. So what's in play here? Let's ask a former member of the Trump team and current Fox Business host, Larry Kudlow. You see him every day at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Larry, why are the numbers on the GDP high? The solid unemployment numbers are good. Why are people not feeling it?
Well, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of canards here with these polls. Wall Street Journal poll showed that people favor congressional Republicans over Democrats on every single issue, including affordability. But let's not look. You're in a boom. This is the Trump boom. The numbers coming in. You're running 5% plus growth in the fourth quarter. It's quite remarkable. Energy prices are coming down. Gasoline prices are coming down.
Interest rates are coming down?
Interest rates are sort of flat to down slightly. Mortgage rates have come down. But here's the thing. Wages are rising, okay? Working class wages are rising over 4%. The inflation reading actually is very low. 2.3% is the last reading. We just got it this week. That gives people about $1,500, okay, for take-home pay. Wages better than prices. And remember, kicking in the IRS withholding rates, you're going to get another $1,500 for middle-class families from the various refunds on tips and overtime. So you're talking about potentially like a $3,000 bonus for take-home pay for middle-class working folks. It's a phenomenal story. I mean, that's affordability is growth. Mm-hmm. Affordability is income coming in for your kitchen table. You know, that's the issue here. People are just misrepresenting so much of this.
So if you were in the White House again, I know you're in constant contact. These are some of your best friends in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You got a message, right?
Yep. Get it out there.
So what would be some things you would put in a speech?
Sell it. Now you're going to get his speech, by the way, at Davos had a lot of this. It was very well put together. And one thing he said that was so phenomenal, rapid economic growth does not cause inflation. In fact, this kind of growth with productivity and AI and so forth actually reduces inflation. You're producing more. You're building factories. Right. This is so important to this whole story. People going to work. Now, he has to go out and sell it.
Right.
Very important. He has to go out and sell it. Chief of Staff Susie Wiles has said he'll be on the ballot or he'll be campaigning like it was a presidential.
And he's going to even have a convention in August.
I love this idea of a midterm convention. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. Gives him a chance to showcase what I think is going to be tremendous economic success. Right. This is a key part. And the other thing, Brian, that's so important, you know, reading about it, and I knew this was going to happen, Elon Musk has made up with the president. Musk has said he wants to put he'll put $300-400 million into the Republican campaign.
Yep.
Seriously, maybe I'm even underestimating that. The midterm convention, and the president will be out there talking and selling, all right? He went through a little period when it was more foreign policy, but now it's much more balanced. He will come back, and he's citing these numbers. Wages beating prices. And the rebates are going to be worth a couple of $1,000s for every, working folks, everybody next year.
So it could be a very promising spring and then see how the president hones that message. So Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan, in the line of fire, the president of the United States, not over the fact that he was debanked when he was a former president trying to be president again. Here is Jamie Dimon reacting to the debanking.
On debanking, the president has accused you and Mr. Moynihan of debanking conservatives. What do you make of those allegations?
We don't debank people because of their political or religious affiliations.
What's your message?
But there are a lot of things that could be fixed,
we
should fix them. The rules and the requirements are so onerous, and it does cause people to be debanked, who, in my opinion, should not be debanked.
So do you blame the banking regulators primarily for this debanking issue?
Pretty much, yeah.
So can you unwind that for me?
Yeah, I mean, what they're saying,
Trump is suing for $5
billion. $5 billion. I've actually spoken to Jamie Dimon about this. Basically, they're saying the Biden regulators made us do it. There's no denial here. I mean, you look carefully at what he just said. It's right here. We do close accounts because they create legal or regulatory risk for the company. I would say that's a non-denial denial. Just because the Biden regulators, which were barely in place in early 2021, told them to do it doesn't mean they had to do it. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to like Jamie Dimon a lot. I'm not running a jihad. I'm just saying, though, nobody thought Mr. Trump would have the comeback that he had in early 2021. Think about that. Go back to that point in time. It was kind of low ebb. So things were done by banks and lots of other people that probably would never have been done. Now, I don't know what the courts are going to say. I'm not a lawyer. We'll see how this works
out. But there's some there.
But there should. Look, there is some there. Not every bank debanked Trump. Just because a regulator, you're running the biggest bank in the country, all right? Maybe the best bank in the world. If some regulator tells you to do this, you don't have to do it. I'm sorry. You don't have to do it. You have to use your own judgment. So I think blaming the regulators is really only a half truth.
Now, you know why Larry's so popular on WABC Radio on Saturdays and every single day, number one show at 4 p.m. on Fox Business, the number one network. Thanks so much, sir. Great to see you.
Thank you, Brian.
Do not let Trump convince you to come back.
Thank
you. Don't move.
I love it.
Next, only at One Nation, Carly Shimkus is here with the media moments that matter. Don't move. Hi, Carly. But I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah.
Better when I'm dancing. Rough going up here. Mike Tobin, Fox News. The goal to overnight at 23,000 feet without oxygen. You got to get creative. I ran the stairs at my office. Preparations are complete. All the fear, all the anxiety. Am I tough enough? Am I good enough? I looked at the summit cone and I said, I got this.
Everest, journey to the top of the world. Streaming now on Fox Nation.
A massive winter storm blanketing so many states across the U.S. In fact, 23 of them under a state of emergency. This is Times Square. Nearly a foot of snow has fallen here in the big city. It's all being pushed to the side overnight. Boston about to get 2 feet of snow. Flight cancellations and delays across the U.S. Yeah, listen to this. Approaching nearly 20,000. The South is being crippled by an ice storm, specifically the state of Mississippi and Oxford, where Ole Miss is. Power is out. Nearly a million customers across the United States are out as all of this is still progressing. This may be a very bad situation in the days to come. We'll continue to monitor across all of the Fox Media platforms. Stay tuned for 24-hour 7 coverage here on Fox Weather, Fox News, and Fox Business.
Media moments that matter.
All right, that's right. Time for a fan favorite here on One Nation. This week, I gave the VCR, the TV guide, to Fox & Friends co-host Carly Shimkus. Then she said, I need the cords, Brian. I go, there you go. And then she said, what about the tape stock? I go, there you go, Carly. Carly, I gave you everything I had. And I asked you to come up with three media moments.
And guess what I did? I put it all right next to my phone book.
Okay.
Yes, so it was in a good spot. And I did come up with three good moments. Let's first head on over to CNN, because that is where a very sane panelist, Scott Jennings, said a very sane thing. When confronted with a very big lie, watch this.
He's basically playing Risk because people hurt his feelings. I would love it if he was more transparent about the human sex trafficking network that he was a part of, but you can't win them all.
Cameron's grateful that the president is being transparent about the Nobel Peace Prize and his desires for Greenland. Scott, what do you think about that?
You going to let that sit? Are we going to claim here on CNN that the president is part of a global sex trafficking ring? Or?
Well,
I mean,
we're going to talk about the FC file. Scott, I will do the fact checking as we go along here. Repeat what you said about the global sex trafficking ring.
That Donald Trump was provably very involved with it.
Okay, we'll get to that later. I mean, Donald Trump has never been charged with any crimes in relation to Jeffrey Epstein. But
let's be adults.
We'll talk about that. Let's be serious. Satisfied?
Hello, are you going to fact check that actual slander?
Right? Yeah.
There's something really satisfying about that moment, isn't there? And it proves that you don't have to say a lot sometimes to get your point across.
Right. It shows that at 11 years old, you can call the president a sex trafficker, and Scott Jennings not going to let it get by. I thought it was very interesting that the moderator says, I'll do the fact checking.
Yeah.
But by the way, what did you say? I was really listening.
Whoops. Yeah.
Provably, good choice on that one.
Yeah. Provably very involved in a sex trafficking ring. I don't think so. Okay. Let's switch mediums just for variety's sake, because Stephen A. Smith said on a Sirius XM radio show he had some fiery words for Gavin Newsom, who criticized President Trump during Davos, Switzerland, to visit there. Watch this.
When we go somewhere else, it's America first. But we ain't taking dirty laundry outside. Now, I know that sounds juvenile. I get that. But we got problems here in the United States. And don't tell me they don't exist in California. But specifically when it pertains to sanctuary city, sanctuary state, border issues, safety in the streets, and I'll be damned if affordability ain't at the top of the list in the state of California. But you don't go on a world stage to disrespect your own house, which is the United States of America. I don't like that at all. Not even a little bit.
Okay, and if you're wondering why he's so worked up, and this is very important, it's because Gavin Newsom didn't issue, like, a normal level of criticism. He went over to Switzerland and urged other world leaders to stand united and stand tall in their fight against President Trump. So isn't that working against Absolutely. And encouraging a negative outcome for the United States?
Stephen A. Smith nailed it. He also handed out knee pads so the European leaders, since they're on their knees groveling I to know. The president, and he sells them on his website. So let me ask something. He's not running against, if he runs for president, and he's by all sounds, by all sense
that
purposes,
proves it. Yeah,
he
clearly.
Is. He's not running against Trump. All the things that he's getting known for, you could tell me, I don't know how much he really gains from it. He gets notoriety, people talk about him. But soon he's going to have to compete against Democrats. And they're going to just flip over his card and they're going to go, what did you do as governor? What right. about unemployment? What about homeless? What about the budget? How much is gas? How much are taxes? I heard we can't buy a gas car.
Bingo. So. And that'll all happen during the debates. And you nailed it. That's probably what's going to come up. Okay, speaking of presidents, and let's switch mediums again, shall mm-hmm. we? Because Michelle Obama was on the Call Her Daddy podcast and said, heck no to a third term for President Obama. Watch.
If Trump does change the law mm-hmm. and runs for a third term, hypothetically, do you think your husband would consider running?
I hope not.
Michelle.
I would actively work against that. I do believe that 8 years is enough. Like, you know, so, and there's so many talented people out there. Like, why would we keep going with the same people?
So she has made it clear. Stop asking me. I'm running. Now she says if my husband right. runs, I'd work against
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. I mean, 8 years in, 10 years since he's been in, I think that's enough. I'm sure they both want to officially hang it up at this point. He also, that very strange-looking presidential library is taking up a lot of his time, so he has to continue the construction of that.
I will say, from the outside, it looks horrendous. It's way over budget, right. and he can't still
way
execute.
Way over budget.
I think Trump's opens before Obama's
okay,
opens.
Yeah, we're setting the clock right now.
Cody of CNN Fox and Friends. First, I sense your first story will be about snow.
I think you could be right. Yep. That's the deepest tease I've ever been a part of.
All right. I'm honored. Thanks so much, Carly. Always great. And don't forget to follow me on social media, Rumble, Instagram, X. And we have our own YouTube page. Go check it out. And be sure to join the Culper Club. It is local, so just ask for Culper, and you can be part of an exclusive club. Carly, you could do it, too. More One Nation in a moment. Joining me now, Senator from Texas, Senator John Cornyn. So you're in a tough election fight. We know that in Texas. Karl Rove, also a Texas guy that knew this Texas governor called Governor George W. Bush. He says that Republicans are in trouble in Texas with the Hispanic vote. Listen to this.
Hispanic voters, again, source of tremendous strength for Trump in the election 2024. What you know the numbers. He got, what, over 40% of the Hispanic vote. He's now registering way, way below that in approval ratings among Hispanics. How much of a problem is that for the GOP?
A big, because this is a variable group whose movement into the Republican column in 2024 helped elect Donald Trump to a second term and helped Republicans hold the Senate and the House. But no, it's a problem. And we're going to see it here in Texas. You can just see the support for Republicans in Texas diminishing, despite the fact that initially there was enormous support for the action in securing the border.
So, Senator, they love the border being sealed, maybe misinterpreting the crackdown on illegals. Have you picked that up as you walk the state of Texas?
Yes, I have. But I think there's two big problems. One, you pointed out, is all the negative mainstream media. It's been relentless attacking the efforts to simply enforce our immigration laws. And the second is President Trump won't be on the ballot in this midterm election. I found, though, based on long experience with many of the leadership in the Rio Grande Valley and elsewhere, mm-hmm. is a lot of this is not based on who's a Republican or who's a Democrat, but based on a personal connection. Right. So candidates have to establish a personal connection and earn that vote. We can't right. take it for granted, that's for sure.
So let's take a look at the poll right now for the Republican nomination. Ken Paxton just got a 1-point lead over you. Then it's you, John Cornyn, then Wesley Hunt, who you have to have a lot of respect for. This is a Republican against a Republican against a Republican. What is your message in this tough primary fight? Why should people stay with you?
Well, I think first and foremost, to look at my record, I am proud of the record we've established. We were able to most recently return $11.1 billion to Texas taxpayers as reimbursement for what Texas did when President Biden did not do it. And I think the other part of it is a character issue, particularly the attorney general with his long record of scandal. Is, I think, a real open question whether he could even win a general election. I will be able to help with down-ballot races because in 2020 I won by 10%. We need to continue to elect a majority of the House of Representatives, including the five new congressional districts here in Texas. I think if I'm the nominee, I can help with that and help President Trump in the as a result.
Senator John Cornyn, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Best of luck.
Thanks,
meanwhile,
Brian.
Now it's your sneak peek of the week. You ready? President Trump heads to Iowa Tuesday for a speech on the economy. He's going to be talking about that and a whole lot of other things. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Marco Rubio is set to publicly testify in the Trump administration's actions in Venezuela. Of course, I think he was the architect of a lot of it. A hearing scheduled for the Somali scammers, and there's a lot of them, fighting fraud in Minnesota. Look at Maine and beyond. I can't wait to get to the bottom of that. Remember, that's the real story in Minnesota. And finally, another hearing will examine the resales of concert tickets, why everyone's making money except the actual musicians. Meanwhile, President Trump expected to meet with commissioners from the four major U.S. sports leagues to discuss America's 250th birthday. You're not going to believe what IndyCar is planning to do. I can't give it away. Hopefully, they get a thumbs up about it. That is it for us tonight. Tune into my radio show from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. We have Senators Tom Cotton and Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Always great. Plenty more guests. In just a few hours, catch me on Fox and Friends, and be sure to check out our new brand new YouTube page. A lot of radio bites and a lot of original content. As always, two messages to close with. Stay within yourself and always keep it on Fox.
Thank you, Lord, for the hard times, for lighting the way in the dark times, for pulling me in, for giving again the times that
This right here is the bloodiest battlefield of the entire 18th century in all of North America.
And I believe we got our target.
By the time they got here, they were full of confidence. The type of fighting really turned the tide of the July 2nd battle.
I cannot believe I am inside the Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
The mysterious military installation.
After 9/11, we were focused on power projection. But now if we've got those multiple threats, a place like Cheyenne Mountain, and getting this infrastructure ready to go is a top priority.
A date which will live in infamy.
This is the original speech.
This is the original. When he was president during World War II, he worked in this room.
Once you get there, you gotta fight. Can you give me a sense of what it'd be like to load my musket and take on the Hessians?
I would love to. Now the British, who had been chasing the Americans out of New Jersey, they're going to be the ones who are now on their heels going back to New York City.
I'm Brian Kilmeade. This is indeed what made America great.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.